7, and we're here for the purposes of a work session on Senate Bill 5505, the Department of Corrections budget bill. And I think I'd like Mr. Williams and Ms. Gilbert to come forward. And would you like to make any introductory comments, Mr. Williams, or how would you like to proceed?
Mr. Chair, just to start off, members of subcommittee, the memo in front of you is slightly different than the one that was passed out to you late last week. Two differences. First, there's $150,000 in transitional services for a pilot project in three counties on the use of sex offenders on the use of Depo-Provera. If you have questions, I have enough trouble saying it, but Mr. Williams can detail that when we get to that point if there are questions. And the second one, there is a budget note actually in the capital construction section on Junction City that I will explain to you when we get there. Just a quick note, while the capital construction figures are here for reference sake, they will not be part of Senate Bill 5505. That will be as part of the capital construction bill. But the actions you take surrounding that will be generally as recommendations to whatever committee is set up or subcommittee is used for capital construction generally. And Mr. Chair, I would suggest we use a similar as you did yesterday. This is a much longer budget than the Criminal Justice Commission. I suggest that you allow me to walk through each of the through a division policy packages. I'll respond to questions or comments as you go through them. And then at the end of each division, sort of see if there's objections, note them, and then at the end, make sure we'll gather everything together. If the numbers have changed significantly, I may need a few minutes to make sure that we get the numbers in the right spot. And there'll be enough people taking notes, Ms. Gilbert, to make sure that we can converse on that if it does get complex. So I'll just start off. The first page are just some agency background issues for you. I won't go through those except to note that in the middle of the first paragraph, there is some discussion around caseload or prison population, which is the primary driver of this budget. It will grow by just less than 600 inmates during this biennium between July 2007 and July 2009. On the second page, the last paragraph there before the summary of recommended changes section, you'll notice that the community corrections population will grow by about 800 offenders, or just over 2% during the biennium. Those are reflecting the most recent April 2007 forecast. There are a couple policy packages in here that bring the budget up to date based on that forecast.
Mr. Chair, question. How many counties do we have that have opted out of 1145?
At this time, Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, there are two counties, Douglas and Linn counties. They opted out in 2003. The major features, the budget there on are page 2 at the toward the bottom, enhanced mental health programs. There's additional funding for cognitive programs over and above the governor's budget, as well as there are transitional coordinators and also resources for increasing the rates paid to alcohol and drug treatment providers. Funding for community corrections is recommended at $227.1 million, which is based on the April 2007 forecast. It's a 19% increase, and I'll get to the details on that when we get there. This budget assumes that the Madras facility will open in September 2007, in a few months, and it will take over 2 years to be fully filled under current sentencing laws. There's more up-to-date information on debt service as well as the timing of the issuance of COPs. That will be will net out some savings in this budget. And finally, the largest reduction in this budget is an undesignated reduction of 11.3, which I'll discuss in a couple minutes. This is similar to what has happened in the past two biennia. Overall, there is a net savings of between $18 and $19 million in general fund from the co-chair's budget. So starting off, Mr. Chair, with the operations division, and I'll move to page four and go through each of the policy packages, and I'm very willing to respond to questions. I'll pause after each one and see if there are questions and just move ahead. Package 100 is a mental health housing and services package. It establishes four positions at a cost of about $860,000. It establishes permanent positions at Snake River. It really establishes or maintains the service levels that are in place at this time. And it also increases the number of beds at Snake River Special Management Unit. This was a high priority for the agency. The next one, Package 101, is another mental health staffing. Again, a high priority for the agency. It establishes 30 permanent positions, but as you can see in the narrative there, it really maintains the 0507 service levels again. These are permanent positions. The department has used population savings during 0507 to double fill positions, limited duration positions in the same area. So again, this maintains the 0507 levels at a cost of $3.2 million. Package 121 is a groundwater monitoring package. This is an ongoing program or activity. In the past, it's been funded with capital construction resources. That is no longer available because that limitation in funding runs out after 6 years from the authorization date. This recommendation, reflecting the co-chair's budget, request or instructs the department to find within their existing resources the $194,000 in this division. There's also a corresponding package in the general services division.
Mr. Chair, so I'm clear as to the monitoring of groundwater, that's not the problem that we had there with sewage and some of those issues, I hope.
Chair Shields, Senator Winters, this is a longstanding environmental issue that the department's been managing under an agreement with the Department of Environmental Quality related to groundwater monitoring near the penitentiary, where years ago, as there was dry cleaning fluid that was allowed to dump into the wastewater and then infect the local area. So there is a two groundwater stripping towers that the department is under obligation to operate to be in compliance with the DEQ order. As those were constructed and have been operating, as Mr. Wilson commented, they typically, we've been using capital construction money in order to do that. This is now a long-term ongoing environmental commitment that the department has, and so our effort was to actually create a funding base in our base budget to continue those operations, as it does take both staff and training to continue that operation. Certainly we'll follow the recommendation of LFO in this instance, and it's not something we have the obligation of stopping. So if there isn't money to fund it directly, we'll find a way to fund it because we have that obligation.
And because we have the obligation to keep the rest of the city of Salem and the communities around it safe. And, you know, I can remember when this issue first emerged several years ago of the waste that's getting into the various systems. So I like the assurance that this will continue because, for me, with your institution being in Salem, it puts our citizens here at risk.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Winters, you have my assurance that we will continue to do it because we're legally obligated to do so.
Thank you for those comments. Please continue.
Package 810 is the April 2007 forecast for the prison population adjustment. There's actually not a very significant change to the prison population as a result of the forecast, but the agency did come forward and looking at what mix of beds they require, They did decide to put forward the proposal to not open minimum beds at Shutter Creek near Coos Bay. This saves about $3.4 million because they have plenty of minimum beds now. They also, as part of this action, recognize the demand for women's beds at Coffee Creek, both in the number as well as the type of beds. They need some single-cell beds at Coffee Creek, something they do not have a large supply of right now to deal with special needs of individual inmates. The net pack or the net savings in this package is just under $3.4 million. It saves 31 positions at the Shutter Creek facility. That money is redirected in part to something that you'll see in a minute regarding utility costs. Now we've moved the minute in package 817. This is an issue that the department brought forward in the past couple weeks. They started taking a look at some of the sewer and water rates that were coming in for some of their institutions, as well as repricing based on new energy costs, what they are finding. The original estimate or the most current estimate is about $9 million more in these costs for utilities than what is funded in the governor's budget. So this directs $4.5 million to utilities and starts to at least address the problem. You'll see a similar issue in state patrol or state police on gasoline prices come Monday.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Cameron.
I just want to go back to policy package 810 if I can, and the there's a statement in there that demand for women's beds at Coffee Creek continues to outpace the number available. In addition, there's a need for women's single cell. Are we just, is there any plans to deal with that particular need?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cameron, what we had hoped was as we finished the construction of the expansion of the facility at Coffee Creek, there was some hope that the women's population would allow us some lag time before we had to start opening those expanded units, and that just hasn't been the case. We also, as you'll recall from conversations or some of you who visited there, we have a limited number of special management unit mental health beds for females at that institution, but yet we have the highest percentage of inmates with mental health problems at a single institution at that female facility. And so what we're hoping to use is, along with not having enough medium custody beds for women unless we open this expanded unit, which has been constructed and is now going to need to be staffed, we're hoping to both not only create relieve the pressure of not having enough medium cells for females, along with creating some single cell options as sort of a step down unit for our special management unit mental health inmates, so they're not moving right directly out of sort of crisis treatment in a special management unit and back into general population. So this is going to give us some flexibility. The female projections spiked very, very sharply over the last few years and have now started to moderate somewhat, but we're still at a point where we need to open this unit to have enough available beds. We had a few beds left in the minimum side of that operation as that new unit opened, but we were put in a situation where we were having to override more medium women who in their classification should be in a medium institution and putting them over on the minimum. And this is going to allow us not to have to do those overrides, and it's also going to avoid us having to necessarily ship people out to jail facilities for rental beds. So all in all, opening up those medium beds at the facility and creating some space for our mental health needy inmates there, we thought was the best alternative. And as Mr. Wilson indicated, we're trying to kind of manage the resources around that in a way that maximizes it and recognizes that we've got some male minimum beds that we didn't need to necessarily put online right away down on this south coast.
Package 812, if there's no questions on the utility cost increase, package 812 is an $11.3 million undesignated reduction. This is similar to reductions taken in the previous two biennia approved by the legislature. It will be a challenge for the agency. They have met the challenge of past two biennia, but they will need to monitor, you know, basically we'll be taking this vacancy savings and other management actions. But it does allow the flexibility to the agency to take it where they feel best to take it instead of being directed to take it from here, here, and here. Package 818 recognizes that the agency has yet to receive their federal fiscal year 2006, which is, what, 8-9 months past due from the federal government for the State Criminal Alien Assistance Program. This is the federal government's rather timid contribution to fund the prison costs of illegal aliens. So since they have plenty, they have sufficient funds to make it through this biennium under current projections, we are directing the agency in this recommendation to take that expected $3.5 million, carry it over to next biennium, and free up general funds.
Have we sent the feds a demand notice?
Senator Winters.
There, Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, in discussions with the agency, there have been made numerous requests of the payment from the feds, and Oregon is definitely not unique in their situation here.
Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A brief follow-up. Is this, are the states who are in this same position with Oregon, are they thinking that this is just some sort of an inefficiency in the federal bureaucracy, or is this an indication that there might be some policy change and the money will not actually materialize?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Williams can comment. I've sort of asked similar questions along the same lines. You know, they're pretty sure the money is coming this time, but in almost every case over the past few years, and there's a little issue note to this effect at the bottom of page 5, the president has not included this program as funding in his budget, but the Congress has always approved it and bought it in their process. So it is a program that comes and goes, but as these costs increase for states, states are, you know, being vocal about making sure at some point this is funded. This $3.5 million, the cost of incarcerating these folks is probably closer to $100 million. There's about between, I think, 1,000 to 1,200 most recently, an estimate back in the spring, of those kinds of or illegal aliens in the prison system now. So this does not pay for a large share of those costs.
Thank you. That's all I want to
say. Mr. Chair.
Senator Winters.
Isn't the federal pen right down the road?
In Sheridan?
In Sheridan? Just the thought of maybe taking some people and leaving them
there. let's move on.
Mr. Chair,
that's a discussion for
package
the policy
819 is a technical adjustment. It shifts funds from this division to the General Services Division around the food service canteen operation, so it reflects what expenditures actually take place. It's revenue neutral or cost neutral to the agency. We talked about the first issue, Mr. Chair, around the program and leaving these folks at the federal prison door in Sheridan. Comment quickly on the $11.3 million undesignated reduction. I just want to make sure that folks know, or the members of the subcommittee know, that the agency will closely have to monitor the use of overtime, employee morale, employee and inmate safety, much as they have done over the past two biennia. A key thing to keep in mind for the future, the proposed ballot measure 40, which increases sentences for certain property crimes, if passed, will definitely have a significant increase. The early projections and some of the cost projections that I've seen show the need for over 2,000 new beds over and above what's projected now by the end of 2009-2011. I'm sure that those projections will be continued to work on if that ballot measure is approved for the ballot. But regardless of that, we'll put a serious challenge to the agency in coming up with that kind of number of beds. They'll quickly run out of beds if that passes under the current provisions. And then finally, just a note that medical-related costs have been insufficient in the budget for the past few biennia. That's probably no different than that. It's another area they'll have to continue to monitor. It's not so much the internal medical costs. It's the ones that are hardest to control are those costs where they must go outside the prison walls for treatment to the local hospital or to a local specialist.
Mr. Chair, what is the geriatric cost? Do we have those figures broken down of what it's costing us because we're having the clientele stay inside of the institution much longer until they're more aged, and so associated with that is medical costs. Do you have some of those breakdowns, Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, we do have some of that information broken down, and I think we included some of that in the general overview materials that were provided with the budget books initially. We can certainly provide you, Senator, with some greater detail around. There's no question that inmates over the age of 55 have a much higher cost than sort of the average inmate cost, and that's primarily driven by medical care-related issues.
That completes the operations division, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Questions? Let's keep rolling.
The transitional services division, this is pretty much the program division. On page 7, the package 112, the governor proposed adding 6 new transitional coordinator positions at those prisons that are designated as release prison or release facilities. There is one coordinator now at Oregon State Correctional Institution here in Salem. The positions will be located in those facilities at our release facilities. The recommendation here, based on the co-chair's budget, is to establish 4 of those positions, with 1 for sure at Coffee Creek, to be available to work with the Women and Community Services Program. The cost of this package and the recommendation is $619,000. The second package, 113, the governor proposed a 6-month structured interaction with high-risk sex offenders, sort of a pre-release program, established a 50-bed unit, a segmented unit at the minimum facility here that is adjacent to the state penitentiary. That was not as part of the co-chair's budget. But in the last few days, there has been discussions of adding $150,000 general fund for a pilot project that the agency has been working on, formulating for the treatment and monitoring of sex offenders, which utilizes the drug Depo-Provera. These funds will be used to treat approximately 20 sex offenders on a monthly basis. It's a rolling, I think, someone is probably part of the program for about 6 months on average, so you would likely be treating 60 to 80 offenders over the course of the biennium. The monthly costs for each of the participants is approximately $300, including the cost of the drug and the monitoring. The agency will still have to, as part of its existing budget, do the initial assessments by their medical staff. Package 116 is an alcohol and drug provider compensation package. It increases the rate and hopefully decreases the turnover rate for the various alcohol and drug providers. The department contracts for nearly all, if not all, of their A&D treatment with outside providers. The increase in this in package, when implemented, will be comparable to what DHS pays for the program or treatment component when they pay providers. These are generally sort of residential-type treatment. Since the residency portion of the treatment is already paid for by the Department of Corrections, this is the treatment component. The recommendation here is to accept the package but delay implementation by 6 months. That would mean that the rates would roll up to the full amount in the next biennium. The agency is instructed as part of this recommendation to report to the legislature on the impact of this package on the turnover rates of its providers. Package 816 is just carrying forward some limitation for 2 federal grants, or 2 grants, One is the Federal Prison Rape Elimination Grant, and the other one is a Perkins grant, comes from the Oregon Department of Education. These are grants that were awarded during 05-07, and there are still some funds that are available, so those funds are being carried forward and spent through the next biennium. 806 are staff reductions. This is our LFO's reviewing of the increased mandated caseload, participating with suggestions made by the agency when challenged, and there will, you'll see this in a number of the divisions. In this one, there are two positions reduced from their request, one in the Religious Services Unit and one in the Offender Information Service Calculation Unit. And finally, Package 807 is a program enhancement. It adds $1 million to the cognitive programs. This will make sure that there are sufficient resources to provide treatment to all 700 inmates with the highest risk to reoffend. It also provides resources beyond that, and in a second I'll talk to you about a budget note that's also made as part of this recommendation. Of note here, the second bullet on page 8 at the bottom there, just to note that House Bill 2329 has passed out of the House Judiciary Committee. This is the result of some long discussions between the governor's office, DOC, district attorneys, and others about property crimes and the alternative incarceration programs. It should be noted that the bill in its current form has a multi-million dollar fiscal impact ranging anywhere from $3 million to $7.5 million with roll-up in 09-011. You may see that later in session, but it is now in the possession of Ways and Means. And I did talk about the $1 million in additional money for the evidence-based cognitive programming. There at the top of page 9 is a budget note instructing the department to consider contracting a portion of this amount of money for additional funding to community-based organizations that use evidence-based cognitive programming and provide services both in the prison and after the offenders have been released into the community. That, Mr. Chair, is a transitional services division's policy packages.
Good. Should we keep rolling?
Community corrections, Mr. Chair, members. The policy packages are on page 10. Package 110, well, first of all, in the base budget, there are some significant increases because of caseload and inflation. The base funding, or the funding in 07-09, or in 05-07 in the current biennium, is just over $100 million. The essential budget packages based on caseload and the standard inflation rate increases that to roughly $215 million. And then package 110, in turn, the actual cost study. There was a study done during the interim by both the community corrections directors, the sheriffs, and the department that took a look at cost of supervision and came up with a new sort of actual cost study rate. That was included in the governor's budget, a cost of approximately $24 million. That was in the governor's budget. The co-chair's recommended amount is half that amount, assuming that that would be implemented on July 1, 2008, and then would roll up at full cost in the 09-11 biennium.
Representative Nathanson.
I have a comment on package 110, but would you rather hold it till we're done with all of the community corrections section?
Sure, because they all are interactive.
Okay.
Package 810, these are 810 and 811 are adjustments to the based on the April forecast. The first one is to the essential budget level before the actual cost study. That is a savings of $3.6 million. When you take into account the caseloads and the case mix, the actual cost study based on the change in the April forecast adds to the budget of $1.8 million based on that July 2008 implementation date. So the net savings based on the co-chair's budget level, is approximately $1.8 million. And then there's a couple issues. First of all, House Bill 2325, which was actually discussed for a few minutes before the hearing by a couple of members, would require the state to do this actual cost study every 6 years, starting in 2012, in six-year cycles, and then have the rates basically based on that. That was the original intent of the work groups that worked on this during the interim. It should be noted that in the governor's budget and what's in the co-chair's budget, that actual cost study was on the supervision portion of the community corrections. The jail portion used the same rate paid for the marginal costs, of which is about $70 per day for the prison operation, or the prison cost, the Department of Corrections. That doesn't include debt service, but it doesn't. It's the day-to-day costs of keeping up with the cost of incarcerating a single offender, the estimate.
Now would be a good time for questions or statements. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Community corrections, what we're hearing about now, a lot of it has to do with something that happened in the past when I wasn't part of the legislature, when there was a deal. The legislature handed over some duties and said, counties, you do this, and then the state was going to assume the financial obligation, but not actually deliver the service. The counties were going to do it. What I'm hearing from my county is the way this is going to work with the costs exceeding the reimbursement from the state, if you will. What my county is looking at is laying off people for the first year of the biennium and then having to rehire for the second year. This is very poor for service, and it's extremely inefficient, and it actually costs more in the long run. Lay people off and then rehire. Several departments I'm hearing from this, from my county. I think what I'd like to ask, it may not be necessary for a legislative solution. It may be something that can happen administratively through the department. But I've been asked about, is there a way to soften this or smooth it out? Maybe it's more of a cash management issue. But what I would ask would, is there a way that the way of allocating the money is flexible or more flexible for counties to solve this problem, but still not affect the actual appropriation? Because I wouldn't want to compromise the amount that the counties that's appropriated to the counties then for the biennium after that. I want to keep that whole. I want to keep the trend toward the actual cost. But still, if there's a way of being more flexible about allocating the money, I'd sure like to see it, because this is going to be really crazy. Crazy for the delivery of service and an extreme hardship on people employed by the county and for the county to figure out how to deliver the service.
I'll let you respond in just a second. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think my comments are basically the same as Representative Nathanson. I mean, Mark Royal, who's from Umatilla County, came all the way down here basically to tell me that in person, saying, how can we smooth this over to make it so it works on the ground? I add my support to Representative Nathan.
I've talked at length with my county as well. I think it'll mean $3 million to Multnomah County by not having that fully funded. And I've made it the case to the co-chairs that if more funding does become available, perhaps after the revenue forecast, or should the revenue committee do some things, that this would be one of the areas that we would focus on.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chair, I mean, with the best management practices and what we did with the old 267, isn't that the bill that evidence-based practice? I mean, it seems to me that really is working, and the counties are really doing what we got to really help them out with that situation.
Sure. Good comment. Senator Winters and then Senator Brown.
Just would like to ask a question of Mr. Williams. And are there any counties that you know of that are expressing some of the same problems and issues as the two counties that opted out?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Winters, there has been at least one county that has at least indicated their intent on evaluating whether or not they could legally opt out if not fully funded in the actual cost study model. I haven't heard of it and haven't gotten any other information directly or officially from anyone, but more just sort of side comments that they're exploring that possibility. I'll put on the record that as far as the department's concerned, and I know in conversations I had just yesterday with the governor continues to fully support full funding of the actual cost study model to honor the state's commitment to the counties that was identified in his recommended budget. And as the head of the department, knowing how important those resources are, every dollar that's invested in community corrections is a dollar of in community safety, working with these offenders as they release out, and those that don't come into the department as a result of the work that they do with their probation caseloads. So it's very important issues. I think there were two, if I could just draw an important distinction, I think I was hearing two separate things. From the chair, a comment about an interest in trying to at least make known that if there are additional resources available before the end of the session, there is some interest in potentially fully funding. But from Representative Nathanson and Senator Nelson, what I heard was more of a question of, if that money isn't forthcoming, is there a way to spread out the total amount of the biennial appropriation over both years so it doesn't ramp up in the second year and put particularly those ONC counties that are losing that federal funding in a tighter pinch. And I can honestly say that no one had asked me that question until I came into the room this afternoon, so I don't know the technical answer to the question. I think that's a conversation ultimately that we are going to probably need to have with LFO. It's about, to some degree, the state's cash management and how they manage that issue, and I'm not exactly sure under our legal restrictions around the formula how that would work. So it's a complicated enough question that I'm uncomfortable opining on it in front of the committee here today whether or not something could be done. But I will say that we'd be happy to explore those conversations and determine whether or not, even without additional funding, there would be a possibility to take the total amount of the appropriation and level it over. It may be that that would be something that would require a legislative action in order to implement if there's both legal or other limitations.
Well, I hope you'll keep the committee informed. Senator Brown, and then we need to move on.
Okay. I want to say I was very concerned about us moving forward on Senate Bill 1145 when my arm was twisted to vote for it. My county assured me that it was going to be okay, and it was going to be okay. So I'm not surprised, frankly. We're kind of in this pickle at this point in time. My question is, what's the legal standard for opting out, if you know, Mr. Williams, and if you don't, I'm sure.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Brown, the Attorney General's office gets very nervous when I start giving my legal opinion these days. What I would tell you is that it is not my belief that the actual cost study creates a standard by which a county would be able to demonstrate it had the ability to opt out. I firmly believe that the state would prevail in a challenge, and since it would be my department being sued, I even more firmly believe it. But I want to make sure that you understand the nuance there, and I'll say it again for the record. The governor fully supports a full funding of the community corrections budget at the actual cost study level, and it was his commitment 2 years ago that forced all the parties to the table to work on this model because he believes that the counties ought to be fully funded for the services that they provide.
Mr. Chair, and I'm assuming that's the issue we have starting rebasing earlier is because it would have to be spread. You'd do it at a lower proportion as opposed to full portion starting later. I think that's your legal issue.
It would lock it in later. Yeah. We need to move on. Before we do it, though, I want to commend you, Director Williams, because while it might have come from the governor, you were able to bring all those parties together, and the committee definitely appreciates your work doing that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, just one more note on that. If the money is, the co-chairs had cut $12.3 million out of the budget for the what is essentially a first year of this increase based on the actual cost study. That was under the October forecast. Based on the April forecast and the trends of higher caseload growth in the first half of the biennium and lower growth, that cost, not a buyback, is no longer 12.8. It is 50, it's another $2.9 million above that level. So keep that in mind. It's over $15 million. Mr. Chair, continuing on to the General Services Division.
Mr. Chair, are we done with the discussion on House Bill 2325 then, just and how that goes along with this?
If you'd like to.
Well, I just want to make a comment. I know that the Judiciary Committee passed that to the House floor. It's now been pulled back to Ways and Means, and I think that's an important issue that goes right along with this to actually have that study done. And I'll just make one brief comment on the fact that if we and like my peers here, we weren't here in 1995. Is that when the law was passed? But if we have an obligation to our counties, I think we ought to be meeting that from a public safety standpoint, that the best public safety happens right in our communities, and I think that's what we need to do is fund this thing.
Good comment. Let's continue.
Mr. Chair, moving on, General Services Division, this is sort of the central services group. It includes canteen operation, warehousing, fiscal services, and those kinds of issues. On page 12, there's package 120. There's an increase in financial and information management staff to make sure they got up to the levels the agency and the governor felt was necessary. After reviewing that and the staff added in the mandated caseload, our recommendation is to fund 5 of those 6 positions. Package 121 is the groundwater monitoring, the other half of the package discussed earlier in the operation bureau. It also has $225,000 requested by the governor in this division's budget to go along with the original recommendation. There is no recommended amount for this package in the General Services Division. Package 122, I spelled equipment wrong there in the title of that package. Apologize for that. But this is a package of $6.5 million other funds, CLP proceeds that are part of this. This is replacing equipment, radio equipment at Snake River and Coffee Creek that have either met the replacement cycles or there are challenges around the type of equipment used. We recommend, LFO recommends the approval of this package, but under a delayed time frame, which does produce some savings in the debt service line, which we'll talk about in a little bit. This equipment will be compatible with the OWIN project, but this is not part of the overall project of OWIN, which is communicating between sites in the state. This is basically going from the tower into the facility. If you watch the security officers, they all carry radios with them, and this is those kinds of radios. And those radios generally have a lifespan of roughly 7 to 10 years, if I'm not mistaken. You're reaching some of those points now. 806 is that staff reduction package you'll see every once in a while, evaluation of the mandated caseload packages and the staff increases. In this case, LFO is recommending elimination of one position in the requested increases for savings a little over $100,000. Package 816, and taking a look at the amount of money available in 0507 and trying to find savings in 0709. In discussions with the agency, they had money in the 0709 budget to buy some of the equipment for opening of Deer Ridge, which opens in September. They will now make those purchases with 0507 dollars, which frees up general fund they no longer need in the 0709 budget. And that is a savings of $1.4 million. And finally, Package 18 in the General Services Division is a technical adjustment. You saw a $900,000 decrease in the operations. This is the other side of that package. We recommend the approval of this package. The only issue I need to mention here is that underneath the in the base budget, the Department of Corrections is funding and updating and rewriting their major components of the Correctional Information System, One thing you'll find in a number of budgets, you'll see it in state police and judiciary department or judicial budget, department budget, is the need to really coordinate some of these efforts around information management development. And the instructions here are to the department that they need to work with the other public safety agencies in developing the changes they make to this system so they can communicate and access the other systems at the in and out. That's not to say they haven't been doing that. In fact, the Department of Corrections does do a good job in this area already. That is the General Services Division. Moving on to Central Administration, the size of this budget looks large for the staffing. That's because all the central state government service charges for risk management, the insurance coverage, those kinds of things, liability, are part of the central admin budget. Mr. Williams doesn't have a $45 million director's office budget. Most of that is paid to the Department of Administrative Services and actually indirectly funds the legislature also. Policy packages in this division, package 140, this is construction debt service related costs. This is basically issuance cost estimate made by the Department of Administrative Services, an updated amount since the governor's budget for issuing COPs during 07-09. Both the wireless systems, the deferred maintenance, as well as the planning funds for the next prison. And finally, in package 815, this is a federal grant package. Again, there are this is another portion of that prison rape elimination federal grant begun actually in 05-07, not 07-09, as related, or that states there in the description. That will continue to run through June 08, so you need the expenditure limitation to make those expenditures in the 07-09 budget. The only issue here that I just want to raise is the importance of the new unit that they've created within existing resources, the population management unit. This is key for both the day-to-day management of placing inmates in the proper location based on a number of factors, as well as the long-range planning of the agency in planning the structure, the type of new prisons, and when they need them. Chair, continuing on, the Public Services Division. This division, the majority of the staff in this division is either in the Special Hearings Division or unit, which investigates inmate behavior, incidents, or in the Hearings Unit, which is the unit that hears and passes judgment on those incidents. So that is the majority of the staff in public services. It also includes their communications unit and their research and evaluation unit and rules coordination. The only package in this is a staff reduction package. Again, it's reviewing the increase in staff and suggesting the elimination of a position here as part of the special investigation units. The Human Resources Division, this is their personnel division. Basically recruitment, labor management, negotiations, employee development, training, that kind of thing. There's only one package here, again a staff reduction package. One position is recommended for elimination as from the budget, and this is part of the records unit within the Human Resources Division. A couple quick issues here to make sure you note. DPSSC, Public Safety Standards and Training, not only provides training to law enforcement, they also provide all the basic training for the new correctional officers, both for DOC as well as for sheriffs and local jails. So that will have to be taken into account when you hear the DPSSK budget. And also there are challenges faced, second issue, by DOC in terms of recruiting for jobs generally, both on a regional nature and also in fields like medical and pharmacy-related positions. They do have a challenge in recruiting a sufficient number of qualified candidates. That is that division of Human Resources. Moving on to the debt service budget unit, This is pays the debt service for the entire agency, both in prison, new prison construction, and the outstanding debt on that, as well as the outstanding debt on Senate Bill 1145 facilities. A number of years ago, as part of that Senate Bill 1145 in the 1990s, the state committed to counties to provide for expansion of jail space or other alternative facilities for community corrections, and the state, and a part of this debt service pays for that, those outstanding COPs. Policy packages within this budget, package 140 is the new debt service for 0507, based on updated information, the timing of the issuance during the biennium, and moving some of the deferred maintenance projects into general fund, which you'll see in a couple minutes. The governor requested $3.5 million. The LFO recommendation is $1.7 million, and the department and DAS has participated in coming up with that $1.7 million figure. So there's savings there of almost $2 million. Then package 813 is an adjustment based on the sales made in the latter part of the 0507 biennium. The governor's budget was put together before the final sale. That sale has been made. And because of the amount of debt service and the actual cost of that issuance, there are savings going on to the future. And in this case, it's $1.7 million of savings in this biennium. So that produces some savings. That is the debt service. So the governor requested about $133.8 million. The LFO recommendation is $130.2 million of debt service. Capital improvements. This is where deferred maintenance and other projects that cost less than $500,000 are categorized. In the past, there's been roughly $1.1 million in the base for this, which is a very small amount based on over 5 million square feet of buildings and floor space in the correctional institutions. You see the same problems with the state hospital and other portions, and we'll address that in a recommended budget note. Package 814 is the deferred maintenance package. What it really does is transfer some of the projects that had been proposed to be financed with certificates of participation or long-term debt financing. Some of those smaller projects are transferred here. General fund is added, and then those will be taken care of in this biennium, and you don't incur long-term debt for some of the smaller projects.
I can just add, Representative Hanna has done some very good work with the department in identifying projects that could be done for this amount of money rather than doing long-term debt COP financing. And Representative Cameron went on one of those trips, too, to take a look at some of the food service work, and we appreciate their work on that.
Mr. Chair, there's a budget note at the bottom, the second bullet. This has been an issue for our office and others. There are a number of agencies that don't really have the ability to provide for long-term sort of deferred maintenance because they don't have ongoing funding, a long-term funding mechanism. So this budget note is asking the Department of Administrative Services, in cooperation with our office and the Budget Management Division of DAS, to convene a work group of a number of agencies to take a look at trying to come up with a long-term funding mechanism and a plan to address this issue. And then to come back, report to the emergency board or the appropriate committee in the legislature, and then consider that for building that into the future budgets for the state.
And this is something that Representative Cameron and I talked about before. If you would like, you know, as the session winds down and have an interest in working on that, feel free to let me know.
Mr. Chair, that is the capital improvement section. The final division or budget unit is the capital construction. This is for projects exceeding $500,000. Again, this will not be part of the Senate Bill 5505. It will be part of the capital construction, but the act, I'm suggesting that you at least approve or disapprove this as recommendations to whatever subcommittee is doing the capital construction bill. Package 160 is $10.6 million for the planning and design of the next prison facility. There's a suggested budget note regarding this I'll get to in a minute. We recommend the approval of package, get that prison moving for a number of reasons. The population plan, the current prison population plan, management plan assumes that this will be online in 2012. And it does take a number of years, 5 years or so, to start the planning, do the infrastructure, design work, infrastructure, and to build the prison.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Winters.
In looking at prisons and prisons design, has there been, and I apologize, I was not here when the overview and the discussion was held. I think I was at the hospital. But has there been any discussion about the life or the usefulness of the current OSP?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Winters, we have over time evaluated, you know, the useful life of a number of our older facilities. It has continued to be a challenge, and a good amount of the deferred maintenance money that's been identified in this budget will go to do some necessary repair and maintenance of that facility. And yet, we continue to believe that the penitentiary still has a lot to offer as a facility. There may be a time, and, you know, my hope would be that there would be a time when we don't have to build any more prisons, and as the population decreases, we can make some choices about where we're going to house people. And, you know, I would be disappointed someday if the penitentiary were a state park or a historical facility or a museum, but we're not at a point yet where I think we can anticipate that happening. And you'll recall in the mid-90s, as the IMU unit was constructed at the penitentiary, the state made a considerable investment in that new unit inside the walls of that facility. So there isn't any current projected plan to replace the penitentiary as an operating facility that houses 2,200 or so medium to maximum custody offenders.
Follow up, but are there plans to somehow modernize the, I'm just thinking of safety and some of the other issues inside of the penitentiary, how it's constructed in very old archaic ways, and, you know, and there's new designs that can help to make certain that, you know, our staff and others are safe. So what's being done there?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, we continue to evaluate all issues associated with staff safety and design. As I indicated, a substantial portion of this deferred maintenance package that is being recommended for approval in this budget today would go to investments around the penitentiary as some high priority areas where electrical system is a key one. Where we think that that'll make substantial improvement. Despite its age and its old architecture, it is always surprising to me that the penitentiary remains the most sought-after residence of all of our inmates in the system and a good number of our staff who wish to work there. And in part, it's the strong history that facility has and the good work done by so many of the staff at that facility in developing a culture that is a very positive culture within the organization. And it's to their credit. But we recognize the limitations that it has, and hence the need to build more special management unit beds over at Snake River and some of the other things we're proposing, and the design money that's being allocated for Junction City, so we're building the right kinds of beds to meet the growing demands of our specialized populations.
Great. Let's keep rolling.
Mr. Chair, I'll represent the camera.
Mr. Williams, just real, you mentioned the electrical system, and I know that was a big issue when we've had power outage. Is the money here?
Mr. Chair and Representative Cameron.
Priorities.
Yeah, in that deferred maintenance and assessment, the $22 million you see there, it is prioritized. We work very closely with Representative Hanna and Mr. Wilson, and a lot of work went into ensuring that we had placed the money in the right spots, and we're very comfortable with the recommendations that have been made.
That's a good question. That one's been on your list since 96, right? Yeah. Let's keep rolling.
Mr. Chair, the final package is 161. It is the deferred maintenance and assessment. You'll notice that there has been a decrease in the amount between the governor's budget and our recommendation. That takes into account moving some of those projects to the capital improvements and not doing debt financing. It does also recognize that the governor's budget inadvertently left out $1 million of limitation. They had factored into the debt service needs, but they had inadvertently left it out of the capital construction limitation. So that is also factored into that amount. On page 19, there is a budget note that LFO is recommending. This comes about basically from the fact that the new Junction City facility, or that piece of property, has also been designated as a strong potential site for one of the next state hospitals. There are ongoing discussions between Department of Corrections, Human Services, and Administrative Services regarding that site. And our recommendation on that is to unschedule a portion of the expenditure limitation, make sure they have enough to go on for about the first two-thirds of the biennium probably, but make sure they come back and discuss a number of things around that piece of property, both DHS and DOC, including sort of taking a look at an estimate of potential savings from doing some of that planning as a single unit. If you're plopping two large institutions down, you probably only need to do one site planning, one set of infrastructure. You want to share some of those costs. So that's the reason for this budget model. And, Mr. Chair, that is completion of the division-by-division discussion. I think
where we
lost my script here. So.
Okay. We have a couple of questions for discussion first. Senator Nelson?
Just through these things, I thought I saw something on the staffing issues, and I understand this collective bargaining issues. And, I have two prisons in my district, and I'm going to do it with the staff guys. They're going to ask me some questions about how this budget, how are they considered in this budget? And I thought I read something in here. I thought I marked it, but I didn't. And perhaps I just missed it.
Director Williams, would you like to comment on how Umatilla and Two Rivers?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Nelson, so what we spent most of the time talking about, obviously, are adjustments above the base package. In policy packages. So essentially what wasn't really gone into great detail here was the overall fundamental base budget that was not recommended for adjustment by LFO. The one place, and I've got just a small couple of things I wanted to place sort of on the record with the committee, and I'll use your question as my opportunity to make this comment now so I don't have to make it later. Probably the biggest challenge facing the department, obviously, is the undirected $11.3 million reduction. Since we are primarily a business of people and most of our expense goes to paying staff who are doing the direct supervision work of these folks, that's the place through vacancy savings and the like that we'll likely have to manage to hit that target. And that always places an additional burden on the department and on the people that we have working for us vis-a-vis overtime scheduling and the like. And Mr. Wilson was kind to point that out in the issues portion as that package was identified in the budget. Those are issues that continue to impact us. As he's pointed out, for two biennia, the department has taken an unspecified reduction as that. I will say to you personally, I appreciate the fact that it is unspecified because that does allow us to look for other sorts of management savings and actions that we can take to reduce that number and gives us the flexibility to try to manage to that. And I appreciate the committee's confidence in our ability to actually do that. This is the third time around, so if you're adding, and not that I am, but if you're adding, we're pushing somewhere now in a three biennium about $30 million or slightly plus or minus a little bit on those kinds of unspecified reductions. And over time, that starts to have an impact, drives your overtime, have an impact on staff morale as we struggle to fill those vacancies and hold vacancies open to meet that target. So it does have an impact, and I put that on the record. At the same time, I've been in your shoes. I've sat on your side of the dais. I understand the challenge that this legislature faces in trying to meet all of its demands. And you have a very strong Department of Corrections with a very strong work ethic and a tremendous group of people throughout the state who will get this job done.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Cameron.
Yeah, I appreciate, Mr. Williams, your compliments of your department, and I think I would echo those. I'm just going to express my disappointment that we've cut $12, maybe $15 million out of community corrections, and as a representative from South Salem here in Marion County that houses a couple of these facilities, and I know I was told that my $1 million or whatever that number was supposed to be in play. I'm going to be voting against this budget today because of the lack of support for our community corrections programs. I just wanted to put that on the record, and if you're going to take my $1 million, fine.
Very good. Further discussion, Senator Brown?
A little, I shouldn't even say this, teeny issue. The DECRA Provera program, I know it was only $150,000. Is that a voluntary program? This feels like sort of deja vu from Senator Hamby days.
I'll let Mr. Williams, because I can.
Mr. Chair and Senator Brown.
Could you make the comment reply brief, because we want to get through this today.
I think it's short.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The law around DEPA Provera was passed in 1999 as an initial project sponsored by Senator Schrader and a number of other people. We have continued to screen, but we only screen. It's actually done in the community with community providers. This pilot project is going to put some better sideboards around who's screened for the project. People are screened. It is a condition typically of their release established by the parole board when they return to the community. And they can be sanctioned if they don't comply with the DEPA Provera.
Is there a motion on the amended LFO, or just the regular LFO recommendations?
I move the LFO recommendations as presented.
Representative Nathanson has moved the LFO recommendations. Any discussion? Are there any objections?
We're on the entire budget now, or just the changes?
We are on the LFO recommendations to the budget, right?
To the budget.
Is that on page 19?
Actually, you're taking our recommendations and then moving on to the agency budget as a whole. So this is sort of the first step.
Is that responsive?
Are you going to go item by item until you get to the final budget? Is that what you're... Well, this is a motion.
The
three motions basically are to accept the recommendations. And if those are accepted, then there'll be a motion to approve the budget as outlined there on page 19 and 20, which is sort of the amendment. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the final motion after you discuss the performance measures, which will be a brief discussion, will be to then move with a due pass the bill to the full committee.
I'll hold my comments prior to the final due pass.
It's light.
Fair enough. So, Representative Nathanson, you have moved, right?
Uh-huh.
And are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion passes.
And Mr. Chair, next, if it's all right, I'll move the budget for the Department of Corrections as listed on pages 19 and 20 of the memo addressed to the subcommittee.
Representative Nathanson has moved the budget for the Department of Corrections as listed on pages 19 and 20 of the memo. Are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion is approved. Performance measures.
Real briefly, in front of you is also a list of performance measures. The department and I met a few weeks ago and went through these. They are changing some, in many cases, the wording to become much more effective. I won't go through each one. They are also proposing two new performance measures on the list of other 14 and 15. One dealing with healthcare, which was a suggestion by from the 2005 session, and also the number of workers' comp time lost days per 100 employees. Two are being proposed to be deleted, number 6 and number 12. That's on page 2 of this handout. One dealing with workers' comp is being replaced by number 15, and the other is something around percent of release plans made to the Board of Parole and post-prison supervision, which they're generally running, I believe, over 90% already, so they're performing very high. There has been significant review. Many of them are newly worded, and actually in the maybe by the time this hits full committee, some of these blanks on the first page will be filled in. I will note that there were target changes on three of them. On page three, the recidivism rate, they have been successful, and because there are some increased program dollars in this budget, that target has been reduced slightly based on some of the history as well as those investments. Number seven, on energy use, that has been reduced the target some. They have been operating in the past couple of years at around that level, so it's within their boundaries or within their experience. Now, of course, if you have real cold weather, they're not going to meet that in eastern Oregon on the most part. And finally, on page 11, or measure 11, the percent of inmates who successfully complete transitional leave, that has been changed slightly also. Mr. Chair, without going item by item, those are our recommendations on the funds measures.
So is there a motion to move Senate Bill 50, is that where we are?
Yes.
Senate Bill 5505 as amended to the full committee?
Mr. Chair, I do move Senate Bill 5505 as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nathanson has moved Senate Bill 5505 as amended to be reported out of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be a no vote on this budget. It is not for my lack of appreciation for the agency, for the work they've done, for the transparency that they've allowed members to participate in this process, nor for the work that LFO has done allowing members to give input, dig deeply into the issues and numbers of this budget. I'm deeply disappointed with the process by which members have come, participated, put work into this budget, only then to be told their input from the standpoint of fungible funds within these budgets, but what the co-chairs would describe as your chip of money, because you are a no vote on the budget, doesn't count. Our work counts, the effort counts, but our ability to direct those funds to the most important areas with the agency are then yanked away by this process. We're at a point where we're now spending $1.27 billion of general fund. We, at this point in our process, still have a co-chair's budget that is upside down $480 million without new revenue sources. It is reasonable to say that we could have gone through this process, developed these budgets, put them on hold until we had an opportunity to see what the entire general fund picture looked like, and then proceeded forward when the revenue stream matched the expenditures. I appreciate the opportunity to work with you, and again, I'll be a no on this budget.
Thank you, Representative Hanna. I would just like to note that this was a discussion that we had with all the committee members, that I think it was very clear that if people wanted to participate in the redistribution, that we would ask that they participate with their vote, because their vote does matter in helping to pass the changes to the Department of Corrections that would make that possible. So is there any further discussion? Yeah. Representative Cameron.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Shields, and I appreciate your leadership and your communication on that point. And I knew that Corrections was going to get a haircut today. I was warned about that, and I knew the process that you said we would have $1 million, and I appreciate that. But when I see a priority like community corrections, research that we spent that says this should be taken care of, and we've cut that in half of where it should be, I really see that as a priority for the community that I represent. And of course, all the other things that I put my chips into, I think, were priorities as well. But I do think that the community corrections budget in Marion County is something that I need to stand strong on. Thank you.
Very good. All right. So I think probably what we should do is call the roll.
Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, can we make sure there's no objection to the key performance measures so we can process?
Are there any objections to key performance measures? So do I move the key performance measures? So
Mr. Chair, I'll read the roll here. Nathanson?
Aye.
Representative Hannah?
No.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
No.
Chair Shields?
Aye.
Senator Winters?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
I just have it. Director Williams and your staff, you did a great job. I know we worked you hard for probably close to 3 weeks on your budgets, particularly the operations division. Please extend our appreciation to your staff and keep up.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. If I could just say, I want to extend my thanks to the committee. I know that we spent a lot of time in your offices and a lot of time, and you took the time to come out and see us and talk to us, and we appreciate the committee's work on this issue.
Mr. Chair, before you drop the gavel, you know, included in the discussion was the addition of the SIP funds become available as a part of the request to the co-chair tonight. I think it's important to have that noted.
Yes, very much on the record. We all agree community corrections should be a priority. Also, we need some carriers for the bill. So for the full committee, Senator Nelson, would you be willing to carry that in full? And then on the House, Representative Barker, would you carry it on the House floor?
Mr. Chair, I'll extend to both Senator Nelson and Representative Barker the assistance of our staff in putting together talking points on the budget for you.
Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.